Welcome to the Netzpolitik TV podcast. My name is Markus Beckedahl and my guest today is Richard Stallman, founder of the Free Software Movement.
Hello, Richard.
Happy hacking.
Happy hacking.
So you're here in Berlin and you will talk about the philosophy and history of free software. Can you shortly describe the success of 25 years of free software?
I better explain what free software means. It's frei, not kostenlos. Yeah. We're talking about freedom here, freedom for computer users. So there are four essential freedoms that every computer user should have. Freedom zero is the freedom to run the program as you wish. Freedom one is the freedom to study the source code and change it to make the program do what you wish. Freedom two is the freedom to help your neighbor. That's the freedom to distribute exact copies to others when you wish. And freedom three is the freedom to contribute. That's the freedom to distribute copies of your modified versions to others when you wish. If you put all these four freedoms together, it means you're free to do what you want with the software and free to help others. So we're all free to be a community in which people can help each other. And in addition, the four freedoms together give us democracy. With a free program, the users are in charge. The users control what it does. With a non-free program, a proprietary program, the developer controls the program. The developer controls what the users can or can't do. The program becomes an instrument for the developer's power. Often people ask, if I'm not a programmer, why do I care whether we're free to change it? The answer is, if the users are free to change it, they'll make the program do what users want. And even if you don't personally participate in that, other people are doing that. Whereas if the program is not free and the developer has total power over what it can do, the developer is likely to make those decisions for his advantage and to your harm. Many non-free programs have malicious features. They're good for the developer because they're bad for you. They can get away with that because they have total control. With free software, nobody has that kind of power over anybody else. So even if you never study a line of source code and never change a line because you don't know how, you're still getting the benefit of the fact that the users are in control of democracy.
When I see the principles of free software, the freedoms and the collaboration based on peer production, do you see any other examples outside of the free software world where these principles are working?
Well, yes. I can point to Wikipedia and other such free reference works as good examples. But in addition, there's a much older one. Look at all the recipes that are circulating in all the countries of the world where people read and write. Well, all of these are examples of knowledge that people have developed and then others have changed, and that people keep redistributing and studying and changing whenever they wish. So if you want to understand why I started the free software movement, imagine that tomorrow the government makes a new law. If you copy or change a recipe, they'll call you a pirate and a counterfeiter and put you in prison. Imagine how angry all the cooks would become. Well, with that same anger, because they've never done that to recipes, but they do it to software, and it's just as wrong. Now, I'm not the kind of cook who can make more than tiny changes in a recipe. I'm not that good at cooking, but I was pretty good at programming. And so when I saw these restrictions imposed on our software, I said, I won't stand for this.
Do you see governments who understand